All right, friends, welcome to April 8th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I'm your host, Joe DeCristofaro, and we will begin today's program with the Pledge of Allegiance. So, everyone stand up, face the flag, right hands over your heart, and let's begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, awesome. Now, moving on to today's program.
Federal Reserve News. Warburg and the National Citizens League begin promoting the currency law. Randolph and Clay duel it out. And rookie Trevor Story hits another one out of there for the Rockies.
So let's get started now, shall we?
1912. Here are the headlines for the New York Times. Bank asks patrons to aid reform work. The National Citizens League needs cash for its new currency law propaganda. Yes, those are the actual words in the headlines. German-born Paul Warburg, who came from a heavy family line of bankers, was working with Senator Nelson Aldrich to come up with a new banking system that was like Europe's. What they proposed to Congress was a system in which the United States gave the new banks the ability to issue U.S. currency, loan it to the government at an interest, and convert that federal debt into cash to be loaned out by its member banks over and over and over again. So, how does this nonsense even get sold to the masses in the first place? Well, that's where the Citizens League came in. They were, on this day in 1912, right on the cover of the Times saying this, and I quote, $1 million doesn't go very far in a campaign of education, such as is being carried out by the NCL for the promotion of a sound banking system, yet the contribution of $1 million for the purposes of individual directors of the national banks of a country, short time ago, provoked much comment and a suggestion that the electorate was to be corrupted by the use of these funds, unquote. The NCL goes on to say that it's a nonpartisan association of businessmen who believe the industry of a country bears the burden of our present defective currency. Good thing big New York banks and J.P. Morgan and the Rockefellers were there to help. Was $1 million enough to educate Americans about this new banking system and promote that it was actually a good idea? Well, at the time, Woodrow Wilson, governor of New Jersey, thought that the Constitution was corrupt and argued for a system like Parliament. Wilson believed that competition was sin, so he had no problem rallying the idea for the central bank. The National Citizens League would be successful, and the Federal Reserve Act would come into effect a mere 16 years before the Great Depression. 1826. Randolph and Clay go at it in a duel. John Randolph, slave owner from Virginia, boozer and regular opium fanatic, senator of Virginia, did not particularly care for Secretary of State Henry Clay. The two disagreed on slavery. Randolph had helped found the American Colonization Society, which sent freed slaves back to Africa. He actually disenfranchised himself with the Jeffersonians and formed his own party called the Tersham Quids. Randolph threw around insults, calling Senator Daniel Webster a vile slander, President John Quincy Adams a traitor, and most effectively, Henry Clay the Great Compromiser, and worse yet, a blackleg, which is another word for the death of livestock, or someone who cheats in card games. Quote, "He is a man of splendid abilities, but utterly corrupt. He shines and stinks like a rotten mackerel by moonlight." Unquote. That was it! In those days, senators were exempt from duels because they were considered gentlemen, but when Clay challenged him to one anyway, he didn't expect Randolph to actually accept. And ding, ding, it was on. Kinda. Randolph accepted, but as a senator, he didn't really want to fight. He certainly didn't want to win and leave Mrs. Clay a widow. So, the two men showed up with their seconds and medical guides on the Virginia side of the Potomac. Seconds, by the way, are the moderators of the duel. The duel was about to begin when Randolph's pistol accidentally went off. Tensions on both sides mounted quickly, but was resolved after some persuasion from Randolph.
Clay recognized it as misfire, and they moved on. 10 paces each, away from each other, the word would be given, followed by the 3 count to the duel. Clay's bullet caught Randolph's long coat, almost like a cape actually, while Randolph's bullet would have missed a barn. Boys, mommy needs a vodka shot. Okay, the two men aimed their pistols once again. Randolph raised his pistol over his head and fired bullets into the sky. Clay, seeing the true intention of Randolph, lowered his pistol and said, "I trust in God, my dear sir. You are untouched. After what has occurred, I would not have harmed you for 1,000 words. Aww." In response, Randolph told Clay, "You owe me a new coat." Actually, yeah, I don't know if... I doubt Clay would ever actually replace Randolph's bullet-holed coat, but for now, the crisis was averted. John Randolph would free his slaves as promised, but not to Africa, as was the intention of the ACS. Instead, they supposedly went to Ohio and settled there. 2016. Rookie Story belts out yet another one out of there for the Rockies. Less than a week after making his debut in Major League Baseball, shortstop Trevor Story broke a record by getting home runs in all of his first 4 games. According to MLB.com, one reason for his success could be due to this baseball bat, which was forged from a Texas tree felled by lightning. Another rumor is that he learned to play in a magic cornfield in Iowa. On his MLB debut, he hit 2. First a 3-run homer, then another one the next time he stepped up to the plate at Chase Field on April 4th against the Arizona Diamondbacks. He followed it up with another one the next day, become only the 3rd hitter to score in his first 2 games, then on the 6th did it again with a 2-run homer off Arizona's Patrick Corbin. Then on this day in 2016, he slugged one out to become the first player to hit home runs in each of his first 4 games. He would finish the season with 101 hits, 67 runs scored, 27 homers, and 72 RBI. Throughout his second season, however, Story's hitting would slow down, finishing the year with a .239 batting average, 32 doubles, 24 homers, and 82 RBI.
So that's it for April 8th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joe DeCristoforo. Check out my website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Check out the comment board. Let me know what you think about today's show. World War II fans, are there any other stories you care to share about Commander Bradley? Baseball fans, does chipping away at large blocks of ice make you a better hitter? Sure, why not? Old West fans, did Libby Custer's writings completely exaggerate George Custer takes on the Indians? So yeah, let me know what you think. And on tomorrow's program, Civil War news with Generals Lee and Grant, Old West news about Billy the Kid,
plus PsyOps,
and rock band Soundgarden. So until then, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. And thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.